after police discovered the body of fellow Oxford professor Stephen Rawlings at his home. Child benefits for high earners is due to be scrapped from next year, but the government's hinted they may tweak the threshold. In a magazine interview, David Cameron said he does recognise the risk for mums and dads. Some are concerned that two parents earning £40,000 each won't be affected, but one parent earning £45,000 will be. Chancellor George Osborne says whatever the details, the overall aim of the move stays the same.
It is not fair to ask someone earning £20,000 or £25,000 to pay for the child benefit that goes to someone on £80,000 or £100,000. I think he's very clear, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Npower's cutting gas prices by 5% from February. It's the third energy supplier this week to reduce tariffs, all by similar amounts. And EastEnders will screen an extra scene after the credits tonight as a tribute to Pat Evans. It's set to feature the shock return of a former character. She joined the soap in 1986. That's the latest. I'm Chloe Culpin.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
That was Florence and the Machine, No Light, No Light. You're listening to Gabby here on Drive on Phoenix 98 FM. I am with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Don't forget that joining me in the studio, as I've already been telling you already today, and yesterday I was telling you about it, I'm going to be speaking to Danny Davis from the Chartered Institute of Plumbing and Heating Engineering. He's going to be talking about some domestic plumbing and heating issues on Drive. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll be speaking to him at about 3:15. In the meantime, I'm going to give you a travel update.
Phoenix FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
An earlier lane closure on the M25 clockwise between junction 28 and 29 has now been reopened. So hopefully this area shouldn't be too congested anymore. But there are narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles per hour in both directions in that section on the M25 because of ongoing roadworks. If you're heading towards Chelmsford, there's slow traffic on the A114 Van Diemen's Road eastbound between the Van Diemen's Lane Junction and the Army and Navy as well. And don't forget, you've got ongoing roadworks at Sadler's Farm roundabout, the A130 in North Benfleet. On the tubes, you'll find that there are minor delays on the Jubilee line due to earlier signal failure at Stanmore. Tickets being accepted on buses at Southeastern and DLR services. And minor delays on the Metropolitan line due to earlier signalling problem at Watford. Tickets being accepted on London, Midland, Overground and bus services as well. If you've got news of the queues, here's what to do.
If you have news of the queues, 01277 849931. Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222864.
Someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. Take second best, put me to the test. Things on your chest, you need to confess. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone to care. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. 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 Reach out and touch faith.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
What is a CVS? A Council for Voluntary Service is a local voluntary organisation formed and run by local voluntary groups to promote and develop the effectiveness of voluntary action. CVS promote the effectiveness of local groups and organisations by providing support services such as information, advice and training. CVS acts as a representative body for the views and needs of the voluntary sector and supports the development of a clear partnership and complementary working relationships between the voluntary sector, volunteers and statutory agencies. CVS maintains a resource centre which is staffed and equipped. For more information, call 01277 222299.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
On Friday the 20th of January to Saturday the 22nd, the Brentwood Music Weekend is happening at the Brentwood Theatre on the Shenfield Road. It's three nights of breathtaking music featuring blues, flamenco and Latin jazz. It's £10 to go along per evening or £15 for two tickets. If you need to know more, get your pen and paper, 01621 890153, or have a look at their website, allthews.essex-live.co.uk, for more details.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton, your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
Next up is the Kaiser Chiefs, and after I've played you out the Kaiser Chiefs, I'm going to be speaking to Danny Davis about domestic plumbing and heating issues, so make sure you stay tuned for that chat.
I only wanna see the kind of girl you are. I only wanna see the kind of girl you are.
And that was the Kaiser Chiefs with Kind of Girl You Are. I'm now joined in the studio, as promised, by Danny Davis from the Chartered Institute of Plumbing and Heating Engineering. So he clearly knows a lot more about heating and plumbing than I do. How are you today, Danny?
I'm good, thanks, Gabby. How are you?
Did you have a safe journey down here?
It was fine, yeah. Hornchurch isn't too far away.
No, it's not too far away. Is that where you're based, on a working basis?
It is. That's where I live and that's where I work.
Oh, okay. Not too far from Brentwood at all. So we're here today to talk about domestic plumbing and heating issues because a lot of our listeners, I presume everyone here lives in a home. How much control they have over their plumbing and heating, I don't know, because there are a lot of people that rent now.
There are.
But what I want to ask you, first of all, is this time of the year, what are the things that are most likely to go wrong? Does the weather have anything to do with it?
The weather does. The weather has a big impact, especially when it gets cold and we got freezing weather. You can get pipes freezing, bursting, and especially now, this is the worst time for your boiler to break down when it gets colder because you've got no heat, you've got no control over your hot water. So, yeah, the weather certainly has an effect on your plumbing and heating systems. But being as it's January, early in the year, people are making New Year's resolutions. Not a bad idea to make some resolutions about your plumbing and heating system. People might have, you know, they might have minor drips, leaks, overflows going that they've left for, you know, a time thinking it's not really affecting me. But now's the time to get these types of things resolved. They do get worse. And just call a plumber in, register plumber, register heating professional. Go onto our website, which I'm sure you'll give at the end of the show, and we'll give you details on there.
Right. So if someone does leave a small problem, mm-hmm. and tries to kind of half fix it themselves, or just sticks, I don't know, let's say that they've got something, you know, a pipe that's dripping, and they just stick a bucket underneath. I know, I have met people that do that before, and then they go and empty the bucket once some months and the water's all disgusting. You know, what could that lead to?
Well, at the end of the
day,
if you've got something that's dripping or leaking, if it's an overflow, it's telling you that there's something wrong. So there's something wrong in your system that needs rectifying, and you're wasting water at the end of the day. It's a resource, it's a precious resource. You pay for it. If you're metered, you're definitely paying for it, the amount you waste. So it's worthwhile getting someone to come and look at it for you. Now is the time. This year is going to be a big year for energy efficiency, people to be conserving energy and conserve water as well. You know, we pay, even in a home, a third of the water that we use and pay for, we flush down a toilet. So, you know, that's going to waste anyway. There's no point wasting others needlessly. So if you've got something that's dripping, it's leaking, don't just let it go. Call a plumber in. Get them to come and rectify it for you, because you'll be saving water and he'll be able to do a health check on your system, because something is wrong. It might be a minor thing, it might not, but it's worthwhile getting someone in to look at it for you.
When you do get a plumber in, how do you know who you're looking for? Because I got really ripped off once by a plumber.
Well, you don't always, but there are people there to safeguard you. The organisation that I work for, we're the Chartered Institute of Plumbing and Heating Engineering. We're an educational charity. We're actually there for the public. We've existed since 1906, so we're over 100 years old. And to be a member of ours, you have to be fully qualified and you have to be experienced. So using our members, they have a code of professional standards that they have to adhere to, that's again there in the interest of the public health and safety. So by going to our website, www.ciphe.org.uk, you can go on there, you can put your postcode in, and it'll bring up a map of your local area and show you exactly where the local plumbers are, and then just give one of those a call.
Is there any charge for, if there could actually be some plumbers out there that aren't registered with you, is there a charge to being a part of your
there
website?
There is, yeah. We're not free.
Is it really expensive?
No,
or
it,
you know,
it's not.
Is there anything that's likely to have deterred people from getting registered, apart from just being dodgy?
Well, we're voluntary. You don't have to be. So it is, you know, it's a decision that people make. It's an informed decision. We do give value to our members, because we're there to support them, to improve their professionalism, so that we can guarantee that the public get the people that know what they're doing. So there is a charge that comes associated with that. But, you know, there are reasons why people may not be associated with ourselves, as I say, because we're voluntary. That doesn't necessarily, it's not a slight on them in any way. But what we can say is that if you use one of our members, they are qualified, they are competent, and they are experienced in what they do.
Yeah, it's safer to do. I would really recommend that to listeners as well. I was wondering, because I always argue with the person I live with about... She won't mind me sharing this on air. She throws a lot of food down the drain, like down the plug hole.
Okay.
And I'm always kind of arguing about this because I personally don't think it should be done because it's not going to go anywhere and it's just going to get more and more clogged up in the little ewy bit. Is that what you call them?
And the trap. It's not the best of ideas, you know, food
like
waste.
Sweet corn and peas, rice,
yes,
cat food.
It's often unavoidable when people are washing dishes and things like that. Some will get washed down there, but it's a good idea to have some kind of a strainer in the plug outlet for that. The stuff, anything like that, food waste should really go in your bin, not down the drains, because it can block up traps, it can cause blockages down the line that at the end of the day, if they compound and other things gets, you know, mixed in with them, then you're probably going to have to call out a plumber down the line to come and unblock it for you. It's not a good idea at all. That type of stuff should go in the bin and, you know, just minimise what you actually put down the waste that's got to go for treatment.
And how much of down the line are you responsible for?
Well,
if it's on your property, does that mean you're responsible for that bit of pipe? When does the bit of pipe become the responsibility of the council?
Generally when it leaves... Well, it's not the council, it's the water company, but generally when it leaves your water company, when you connect into theirs, there are some areas, obviously, if you share your underground waste pipe work, your drains, with neighbouring properties, then some of that becomes the property of your water undertaker, your water company. But generally, if it's just from your property, what's on your property is your property. Where it leaves your property and joins with a public sewer, then that becomes the property of your water company.
Okay, when it joins. So, you know, it's not that you're just responsible for the pipes that are actually inside your house. It might be the ones that are running underground through your garden, you know, underneath the drive. You might be responsible for all of that. And obviously, if there's a problem that starts to build up that far down, you're not going to know it's there. You know, it's not like the bit, you know, a lot of people, I think, they think of the ones they can see underneath, you know, their sink and stuff. But you're not going to see that.
No.
And I'll just share a little episode I had with a plumbing issue, and it had actually made it downstairs. I was living in a flat at the time, and the garden section, it was actually on a neighbour's, it was on a neighbour's property, but because it was because of my fault, it came from my pipe, even though it was on their land, because your pipes are separate, they as you say, they don't connect up for quite some time. And had to pay the full whack for that one. But I learnt the lesson, don't put baby wipes down the toilet.
They're the worst thing, they don't break down.
Now come on, let's talk about things that you can put down the toilet and things you can't, because I like having this argument as well. Am I the first presenter here at Phoenix that's asked you this question?
You are, yeah.
But it's because I'm a woman, that's why.
A definite no-no is makeup wipes, baby wipes, any of these things, because they do not break down in the same way. And they'll just clog together, they'll clump together, and they are very, very common for companies. I'm sure that companies that come and unblock people's drains absolutely love those, because it keeps them in work, really. They are a big pain. Things like that are not to go down the toilet at all.
Now, sometimes when I go around my dad's, he's run out of toilet roll. Mm-hmm. He's probably listening, all right, Dad? And so I sometimes might sneak a bit of kitchen roll down there.
That's not a problem, really. Kitchen,
really?
Some of it is a bit stronger than toilet paper,
but it's normally okay.
Well, it is not for the purpose. They're getting more and more absorbent and thicker
they
and thicker
are, aren't
these
they?
Days.
They're becoming like cloths. I've actually tried to rewash one out before. It's been that thick.
Right.
No, I
mean,
I haven't really. But they are getting pretty thick.
They are. I mean, you should stick to toilet roll as best as you can, really. You minimise the amount that you put down there, because it's got to go off to be treated, because down the line, eventually, it goes to a water treatment plant, then it all gets processed and comes back as the water we drink again. So it all, and you're paying for that treatment process as part of your bill, so minimise the amount of work, because there's a carbon footprint associated with everything these days, the water we drink and the water that's treated. So just minimise what you need to put down there, and any food waste and things like that goes in the bin.
Are there any chemicals that we shouldn't be putting down the sink? Are there any that are really... often when people have got blocked drains, they try and sort it out themselves. I'm thinking of kind of hairdressing salons and stuff, and they get loads of hair and they put a load of caustic soda down there. Now, if you keep doing that, has it got a consequence? Is it going to start to wear the inside of the tubes, or...?
It shouldn't really. I mean, caustic soda can be, you know, there can be problems associated with putting that down. It is something that you should, you know, exercise caution with. I wouldn't really advise people to start trying to unblock things themselves unless it's just a minor issue and, you're competent and confident that you can do it yourself. There are some off-the-shelf things that you can buy, but chemicals don't tend to be that much of a problem, the things you can buy off a shelf. So I wouldn't be that concerned of people doing that type of thing. But caustic soda, you can have problems with that, and it can be very dangerous as well.
Yeah, I think I remember... I remember having an experience with that, and make sure that you, after you've used it, make sure there's no one else around. You really do need to evacuate the area because it is really highly toxic.
It is.
And you might pass out unfortunately die. No, you probably won't die, but you might pass out or feel a bit high. Now, is there anything else that I haven't mentioned that I should have mentioned in to do with regards to unblocking things and putting things down toilets and plug holes?
Not really. I think we've covered that one.
Right, brilliant. I'm going to play a song because there's more to cover. So here's Gareth Gates, and then I'll be speaking to Danny with a slightly different topic related to plumbing this time, so make sure you tune in for that.
You're gonna do it.
you're joined on Phoenix FM with Gabby. I'm bringing you Drive until 6pm, and still joining me in the studio is Danny Davis from the Chartered Institute of Plumbing and Heating. Did I say that right? Engineering?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, Chartered Institute of Plumbing and Heating Engineering. There we go. I got the full length of the title out there. And so far, we've been speaking about drain and toilet issues and pipes and what should and shouldn't go down the toilet. These have all been questions I've wanted to know, so I do excuse any of you, but come on, don't lie. Everyone sticks stuff down the toilet that they shouldn't, right? Hopefully no one else's head, because that wouldn't be very nice. So now we're going to move on to the topic of heating. So what can you recommend? I mean, everyone's struggling money wise well, perhaps not. Obviously, there are certain high paid bankers that aren't. Anyway, that aside, I won't go down that road now. You know, a lot of us are, you know, things are going up. People aren't necessarily earning more money. How can we save money on our heating? Because it is one of the biggest expenses.
It certainly is. I mean, heating.
Gas.
Yep, gas. All fuels. None of them do these days. Some advice that you see on leaflets is thermostat. Turn it down by a degree. You might not notice it, but it will save you money. But one of the big things that's going to come in this year is government incentives for people to upgrade their systems, and actual financial incentives behind that, because heating the home does cost a lot of money, and it's responsible for a lot of carbon emissions. Now, we've been committed by our previous government to reducing carbon at a massive level, you know, 80% reductions by 2050, and people haven't really got the money to do it themselves. So one of the things that's due to come in October is called the Green Deal, and that's going to be government driven, which will allow homeowners to have new things in their houses, not just boilers and things like that, but solar panels and things like that. And you won't pay up front, you will pay back through the reductions in your heating bills, your energy bills. So it will save you money, and then you pay back through your fuel bills the amount that it costs you. So these are all things that the government are doing to actually help people to make their homes more energy efficient and save you money down the line.
And save you money as well. That's a really good idea. So it's kind of like, initially, your heating bill's not going to go down because you're paying off the solar panels.
Exactly.
But later on down the line. But then I still think you've got the satisfaction of being nicer to the environment anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things that people can do, not just on your heating, but around the home, to reduce the amount of energy that you use and to reduce the amount of water you use. You know, we talked about dripping taps and things like getting those fixed. Just people brushing their teeth, just keeping the tap running. You don't need it running while you're doing it, so turn it off. If a guy's going to have a shave, some just leave the tap running. We'll just fill the wash basin a little bit and use that water instead of leaving it running. Use less hot. So just simple things, turning your room thermostat down. Number of things that you can do. Again, on our website, there are a number of tips for that, and you can find them on the Energy Savings Trust website, places like that. But there are little things that, you know, little things add up and save you money down the line.
Now, what about people that are going to, perhaps haven't got the money to move house at the moment, but they are going to save up some money and do some extension work, and perhaps they've got some planning permission, or they might be extending up into the loft, or, you know, a lot of people are a bit crammed for space at the moment, or they're trying to make a bit more use out of what they could potentially use as their space. What would you recommend that they keep in mind when, you know, when you're kind of going to the architect with your plans? What are you looking for?
Well, I mean, from the architect's perspective, he's going to be looking at the, you know, the fabric of the building. And from that perspective, then there will be targets that were set by your local authority to ensure that you do everything in an energy efficient manner. But from your plumbing and heating perspective, if you've got the budget, then, you know, go for things that are going to save you money and, you know, effectively be kinder to the environment by way of carbon emissions. So for your hot water, you can look at things like solar thermal, but if that's not affordable and you need a new boiler, for example, then a condensing boiler, which is just a more efficient boiler and uses the combustion process to get more heat out of it for the same amount of money and gas that you'd be putting in otherwise. But, you know, from the whole, looking at it in a holistic manner, just get plumbing and heating engineer and work with them and tell them what your specification is and look at controls, look at the systems that you're using. If you're going to be putting a bathroom in, don't always go for a shower that's going to absolutely drench you in water and use more than you need. There are things out there that are water efficient from you know, just taps with aerators on that look like they're using loads of water, but they aren't. There's all these things add up, and just try and look at, you know, the system by ways of reducing the energy that you use, which is going to cost you less money to run.
Right, okay. I did have another question, and now it's completely gone out of my mind. It's there we go. I've remembered it now. Okay, what about when people are thinking of building a conservatory and they can't decide whether or not to have radiators or underground heating? What is better? You know, when people have underfloor heating because they don't want to walk on a cold floor. Is it... I mean, I have been in houses like that, and I have... you know, being warm, but are they actually having to use more energy? Are they having to crank up the heating more because it's heating through the floor?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, underfloor heating is a great thing. There's plenty of people that have it. It is becoming more and more common. And with some of these renewable technologies, heat pumps and the like, underfloor heating is more suitable because it runs at a lower temperature. Your central heating systems will run maybe at 70, 80 degrees Celsius. An underfloor heating system takes a flow temperature of about 50 degrees because you don't want a red hot floor because you're not going to stand on it. But the way that it heats a room is actually more efficient. So underfloor heating is certainly a good solution. It's not suited to everywhere because you basically want as much floor space free as you can have. So if you're going to have it in a room that's going to be full of furniture or a kitchen where there's cupboards everywhere, it's not always the best, and you might require some supplementary heating. But for a conservatory, if you have the budget, underfloor heating is a good solution.
Right, okay then. I think that's about all we've got time for, although I have kept you very busy with all of my strange questions. What is your website again, where people... So this is... It is worth... You know, people out there, if you're looking for a plumber, plus you say you've got things on your website that can help you save energy as well. You know, the tips that we haven't obviously covered.
Tips, advice, things to do in an emergency, links to other organisations. There's plenty of useful information on there.
Okay.
And the website is www.ciphe.org.uk.
And do you have a telephone number?
For my organisation,
yeah.
It's 01708 472 791.
Just for those people that haven't yet caught up with the fact that everything's going to go online. And soon we probably won't even be living our front doors. We'll just be living a life of cyberspace. Thanks so much for coming in, Danny.
Thank you for having
me. It was a pleasure to have you on, and hope to see you again.
FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
The only live delay I can see at the moment is slow traffic on the A114 Van Diemen's Road eastbound in Chelmsford between the Van Diemen's Lane Junction and the Army and Navy. There are ongoing roadworks on the M25, narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles per hour in both directions between Junction 29 and 30. Major roadworks on the A130 Sadler's Farm roundabout in South Benfleet at the A13 Junction, and roadworks on the A176 Upper Main Basildon both ways between the A1235 Cranston Farm Road Junction and the A127 South End Arterial Road, Billericay. Minor delays on the Jubilee line due to earlier signal failure at Stanmore. Tickets being accepted on buses, Southeastern and DLR services. And minor delays on the Metropolitan line due to earlier signal problem at Watford. Tickets being accepted on London Midland, Overground and bus services. If you've got news of the queues, here's what to do.
If you have news of the queues, 01277 849931. Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222 864.
Phoenix FM.
Are we finished yet?
Just another 10 shops to go.
What?
There's nothing better than spending time at the Baytree Centre. So shopping over 25 stores all within the Baytree Centre and a chance to grab a coffee. You can shop till you drop. The Baytree Centre is open 7 days a week, situated just off the high street with ample parking nearby in a multi-storey car park and a wide range of shops. The centre will truly enhance your shopping experience. Please contact individual stores for their opening times.
Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
On Friday, the 27th of January, Silent Echo is going to be presented by the Purple Dreams Productions at the Brentwood Theatre. It's written and directed by Tobias Nichols, and it's a new thriller written especially for the Empty Stage Tour, tracking the relationships of four friends, two couples, over the course of a picnic as they realise who their friends are and, more importantly, who they themselves are. It's £12 to go along. Concessions are 10. You can call 01277 200305 or have a look at our events guide, where you'll find even more local events at allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
Join Scott Ross on Phoenix 98FM every Saturday at noon, when, sandwiched between a veritable feast of music, he takes a selection of guests, mixes them with some historical bygones, seasons with local events and traffic news to produce your packed lunch. That's packed lunch, your main course of the day, served every Saturday between 12 and 2 right here on Phoenix 98 FM.
I've got a show you just can't miss. Rob Harvey's Saturday Breakfast Show from 7am. Full of great music and chat, comedy and gig guides. With more polish than a tin of boot polish. That's Rob Harvey's Saturday Breakfast Show from 7 till 10.
Hey, is this guy taking a lick or something?
Cheers. Cheers.
Want to know more about gardening but afraid to ask? Then join me, Phoenix FM's resident gardener, Andrew Babbage, for gardening tips, great music and friendly conversation. Sunday best, 10 till midday on your local radio station for Brentwood and Billericay, Phoenix 98 FM.
Keep rushing. The smell of sex, the smell of suicide.